The Houston Rockets won another game against a big-time team, 126-111 over the Los Angeles Lakers last night at Toyota Center. It was a game that I was at. I had a whole lot of fun at said game. James Harden was outstanding in this one. He was 14 of 26 from the field, finishing with 50 points, 18 and 19 from the free throw line. He had 10 rebounds. He had 11 assists. Yes, he had a triple-double, outdueling LeBron James, who finished with 29 points, was coasting the majority of the game, and was also whining about how you can't defend the Houston Rockets afterwards. The Lakers, after the game, apparently explained that they were defending with their hands behind their back because they thought that they were getting called for way too many fouls.
And you gotta keep your hand out of the cookie jar, as LeBron said.
Exactly.
Sounds downright erotic, but whatever.
He is the absolute worst. We'll get to more LeBron in a little bit.
Rockets were called for more fouls in this game, by the way.
Yeah, so the fake news, old Bronsters. After the game, Kristen Ledlow of Turner Broadcasting and TNT talked with James Harden, and James Harden revealed something pretty interesting.
You called for a two-hour practice earlier this week. What is it about this week that has turned the tide for this team?
We need to work. We need to work. We need to get in the gym and figure out what we're good at, what we're not so good at, and get better. Tonight we put emphasis on our transition defense and rebounding. First half we were so-so. Second half we got a lot better. So it's going to be that way for these next few games.
James Harden, not like those frauds in Chicago who don't want to practice. James Harden is going to make his team practice more. He was great last night. I mean, what is there to say? Like, I think Nick Wright had it at the NBA. Let's see. James Harden now has 4 triple doubles when scoring 50 points. The rest of the NBA in its history has 10. Random stats that is interesting by James Harden. Also, Daniel House off the bench. Here's what I like in basketball players. Whenever they're on a court with other guys who are great, like Harden, LeBron, Chris Paul, obviously, I like to see that young guys play like they belong. And House plays like he belongs. I don't know if he's going to continue like that. The last time I raved about a role player was Gary Clark, and he's done nothing for weeks. But Daniel House looked like he belonged in the game last night.
He ain't scared, as they say.
And he's got that energy. The Rockets are always a team that need at least one
energy
younger
guy.
Energy guy. Well, like, and not even younger necessarily, whether it's a Pat Beverly or somebody else. You need an energy guy, and Daniel House, for now at least, is that energy guy.
Up next, the Los Angeles Chargers took down the Kansas City Chiefs 29-28 in an epic Thursday night football game that gives Los Angeles an 11-3 record and the longest winning streak in the AFC, 4 games in a row. Both the Chiefs and the Chargers are tied from a win-loss standpoint in the AFC West, but Kansas City holds the tiebreaker. They have a 4-1 division record, while the Chargers are 3-2. Kansas City plays Seattle next week. That's really the last tough game that they'll have, and they can likely clinch home field advantage with a win in said game. But it was a very interesting game. Some spotty calls, very ballsy call by Anthony Lynn at the very end to go for 2 instead of going for the tie after the Chargers scored a last-second touchdown.
Texas reported out that the Chargers had less to lose going for 2 just because they were in a spot where it seems like they were, if they had not gotten 2, they were almost completely locked into the 5 seed, which I understand. The Chargers have done a hell of a job.
Go ahead.
No,
you're going to move on to another point, so I just, like,
you can jump in.
As far as that, like, okay. Is that what Anthony Lynn is thinking in that moment? Well, wait a second here. We're locked into the 5 seed, so I'm going to try to win the game this way instead of trying to win it like 5 minutes later in a different way. Like, I don't buy that one bit.
No, I'm not saying, I don't think he's saying that I don't think that NFL coaches are thinking about that.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at their situation, it's probably objectively right.
We're going to try this because I got a little new piece of equipment here. Let's see if this works. This is, you want to know, we always ask the question, what is Anthony Lynn as a coach? I know nothing about Anthony Lynn. He spent the only time he's ever been an offensive coordinator when he was the interim head coach in Buffalo. This is what Philip Rivers had to say about his captain, Anthony Lynn.
I was going to the sideline, going to overtime. And Coach Lynn said, let's go win it right now. Let's go for 2. Let's go win it right now. And when he said that, there was so much conviction from him. It was, yeah, let's go win it right now. I mean, it was immediately turn around, let's go win it. I mean, and if we didn't win it, we didn't win it. But I think his conviction, it wasn't like, oh, should we? It wasn't. It was, no, let's go win the game.
What was that at the end?
He was like, he was taking a shot at Tony Romo.
I think what Rivers meant to say was, hey, Anthony Lynn basically told me, listen, if we don't get this, we're going to get the 5 seed anyway.
It's like, hold on a second. He took out a playoff chart. I'm like, well,
we got 5 seed.
How does this work anyway? Is it like soccer where points matter? No? Okay, let's just go for it. Actually, it is like the 10th. Points are like the 11th tiebreaker, somewhere way down the list of tiebreakers. Well, and especially for division. I think it comes in earlier with division games, which is now the AFC West. Once the scourge of the NFL has become this powerhouse division.
Can I just say this also about Philip Rivers? That dude is a hell of a quarterback. He is a hell of a quarterback. I don't care what you people say about your rings and your Super Bowls or any of that kind of stuff. Philip Rivers, I will take him as my quarterback any day of the week. Thank you.
Better quarterback or creator of children? That's what everyone always wants to know.
Point. Well,
he's a very good quarterback.
I feel like given the financial resources, lots of people could have 12 kids. Like, you know, and I mean, lots of people do without the financial resources.
True.
So I would say he's a better quarterback. More people could do what he's done as a procreator than what he can do as a quarterback.
How many of his children will grow to have successful, long, fulfilling lives?
All.
Probably. Well, I don't know. Like, odds would say at least one's going to be an F up, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the odds. I'm not wishing upon anybody. And also, he's from a wealthy family. With a large, wealthy family, sometimes the love feels even more vacant or absent. But he seems like a pretty loving guy. I feel like he probably sits down and has a conversation with each of his kids every day.
I need to watch that Succession show really badly. I don't know if you guys have watched it on HBO. That's all I'm thinking of right
What's
now.
What's it about, Paul?
It's about essentially a old oligarch who has a ton of money. He's apparently a Rupert Murdoch type, but he's starting to go senile, and there are a bunch of his children are trying to essentially take command.
Oh, so it's like New Orleans Saints.
I'm an episode and a half into that show, actually.
This is where we are in the golden age of television. It's like you can't even keep track of what you're watching.
Yeah. I'm an episode and a half in. I know to what you refer.
That doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement.
I get the sense. Okay, Rich Eisen said that it's a great show.
Oh, that's not a good sign either.
How the hell were you listening to Rich Eisen for anything? I tried to watch him.
I saw it on Twitter.
I had him on the other day, and my wife was like, What is his deal exactly?
He's so schmaltzy.
I like Rich Eisen.
He used to be a lot more fun.
Well, as far as this show,
he's gotten full of himself.
I get the sense that it could be a really good show, but I need to like get into a little bit more to get some feelings about the characters.
Yeah,
that's where I'm kind of at. That's where I'm at.
Here are the big games of this NFL weekend outside of the Texans who play the New York Jets tomorrow. Remember, it's tomorrow. They are 6.5-point favorites. That game kicks off 3:30 right here on Sports Radio 610 if you are on the go. The Indianapolis Colts will host the Dallas Cowboys. That game's Sunday at noon. That one is going to be an interesting one given the way that Dallas has been playing defensively of late and that Indianapolis is Indianapolis. The New England Patriots in the late afternoon game, they travel to Pittsburgh. They're 2.5-point favorites on the road, which is a little bit surprising, even though Pittsburgh has lost 3 games in a row. And then in Sunday Night Football, you've got the Philadelphia Eagles again. They are 11-point underdogs heading to Los Angeles to take on the Rams. It seems that Carson Wentz, who has a fractured vertebrae in his back, will possibly not play in this one, though they have not 100% confirmed that. They're still waiting on it, because apparently he doesn't need surgery for said injury.
Well, they got to quit with this just randomly saying it's a fractured vertebrae, because that could be really, really bad, or it could also be like the Tony Romo fractured vertebrae, right, where you're like, oh, he's playing with a broken back. Oh, it's not that big a deal.
Yes.
It's just a little tack on. It's like you lost a skin tag or something.
So we are rooting for the Dallas Cowboys and the Tennessee Titans this weekend as far as the AFC South goes.
Yes.
So root for those teams.
The Titans are playing the Giants.
We're rooting for the Titans and what? Oh, the Cowboys to beat the Colts.
Rooting for the Giants and the Cowboys.
NFC East! The Cowboys, that game, I feel like there hasn't been as much hype over that
game.
It's a good game.
The Colts defense finally gets the respect that it probably deserves because it's flown under the radar, but like they've steadily gotten better throughout the year.
We saw it last week. You're damn right.
The Cowboys with Amari Cooper, who everybody at the time knew that it was a brilliant trade for the Cowboys, right?
Stop raving about it.
Universally lauded. Has anybody informed Stephen A. Smith that Amari Cooper is playing for the Cowboys?
We will hear from Stephen A. Smith coming up at 7:17 this morning. Maybe the top of the hour, actually. We'll see how generous I'm feeling. All right, so we have our auction items. So you have 14 more minutes to bid on this. It's $600 right now. It's all benefiting the Star of Hope. We are raising money to basically buy a van for the kids to be able to go to sporting events and other activities around the city of Houston that they frankly just can't get to right now. So to bid on this Ticketpalooza, it is two tickets plus a $50 gift card for the Jeremy Piven show at the Improv on January 6th. Two tickets to Dane Cook at Revention Music Center. Four tickets for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra night show December 21st at Toyota Center. Four tickets to the Bull Cook-Off 10. All benefiting a great cause. You can bid tax deductible the whole deal. So it's a bid 713-572-4610.
The cook-off tent is extremely underrated.
Yes.
I will likely be intoxicated in it. Number one, so you could stumble across me, and the food that they have in there every single year is awesome. That is my favorite part of rodeo. Rodeo cook-off. Come join us at the tent.
I agree. Plus, it's not something you can just buy on the open market,
exactly,
if you will, on the free market. So this is something that you have to like acquire in different.
It ain't on no streets.
Yeah, it's not on the streets. Yes. So it's a bid again. The bid's at $600. We're raising money for the Star of Hope, two tickets and the $50 gift card for Jeremy Piven, Dane Cook, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and the Bull Cook-Off tent for the Thursday night of Rodeo Cook-Off. To bid via phone or text 713-572-4610.
Well, there are some things to smile about today. It annoyed me reading this morning as I got up and, you know, put my hair into my hat. I just rolled out of bed, essentially. I didn't shower. I smell like complete ass right now. Just wanted to let everyone know that. There
good
you go.
To know.
Don't come too close. My breath smells. My body smells. But hey, I feel really good that LeBron James did not come to the Houston Rockets. And I know that the Rockets would probably be a better team if they brought LeBron in. But seeing this in a conversation that he had with Dave McMenamin, who covers the Los Angeles Lakers and has been covering LeBron James essentially for a really long time, LeBron James on how much consideration he gave to joining the Rockets this offseason. Quote, not much. End quote. LeBron doesn't care about titles. He doesn't care about anything. He's mailing it in on the court. His bald spots are growing bigger and bigger. And that was one of the things that I noticed the most when I was sitting at courtside level.
Too.
It's really getting big.
Oh, really?
His bald spot. That's a personal attack. I can't stand LeBron. I've never liked LeBron. Whatever. It's my own personal choice. And I'm allowed to not like LeBron. So I'm positive that I don't like LeBron.
I get that. Yeah, as far as him not coming to the Rockets, is that even as much a slight on any organization? Or is it just that he was going to go to LA?
He was going to LA,
yeah,
100%.
That's where he's going to live when he's done.
Yep.
That's where little Bron, which is just a
Bronny
to name your kid. Bronny, that's right, Bronny.
Bronners.
Bronny.
It doesn't even sound, it doesn't sound effeminate. It sounds, what does it sound?
Egomaniacal?
It sounds like
Bronny.
Like a stuffed animal. Like a, like your favorite little unicorn Bronny.
Yeah. It does sound like a pony of sorts.
Yeah. That's what it is, it's Brony. It sounds
Brony
like
the
Brony.
Pony.
No, Bronies.
My little Brony.
Bronies are the adult men that are into My Little Pony.
Oh.
So you named your child Brony.
I'm not gonna lie.
He's so good at basketball.
You can be into whatever kind of lifestyle you want as long as you're not harming other human beings. That Brony thing freaks me out. I'm not gonna lie, that freaks me the hell out.
The bid is up to $700.
Okay.
For Dane Cook.
Not
here.
Enough.
Dane Cook.
Come on, guys.
Dane Cook, Jeremy Piven, Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
That is a sweet package.
Not the Siberian Trans Orchestra, which is a completely different matter altogether.
Trans-Siberian.
And then what's the other
Bull
one?
Cook-off tents,
the Bull Cook-Off
tent. Which you can't
tent,
buy. Four tickets. So it's a bid. 713-572-4610.
UH basketball is 9-0, and we did not mention that yesterday. They had a big-time comeback win against LSU. And I cannot stop hearing great things about the Fertitta Center.
Yeah.
The Fertitta Center sounds like it is the best place to watch a basketball game in the city. And I'll be honest, while I enjoyed watching the Rockets and Lakers at Toyota Center last night, there are a lot of Laker fans, number one. Number two, I think that everyone at this point of the season is a little bit frustrated with how the Rockets have opened things up. So I don't know that the energy was really there for the majority of the game. At the very end of it, especially when James Harden took over, yeah, it was a lot of fun. But I really want to check out a game at the Fertitta Center. And good job by U of H. I mean, you lost Rob Gray this offseason.
Yep.
You had that heartbreaking loss in the NCAA tournament to Michigan, and here you are 9-0, and you've beaten a couple of pretty good Power 5 conference teams along the way. Oklahoma State and Oregon, too. Good job, guys.
At what point we got to start lobbying for Kelvin Sampson coaching awards at some point? We'll have to take that on.
I'm not going to lie. I haven't studied
I know, Mike. Okay, listen. You're a damn homer, okay? Just embrace it, all right?
I like Kelvin.
You feel like Charlton Heston when Northwestern was good at football. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm all about Northwestern football.
My take on this is, and I have to think on more examples of this, but sometimes a stadium or an arena in the right situation makes a gigantic difference. Like,
yeah.
I think about Camden Yards back in 93 in Baltimore with the Orioles. Different things, it's a professional sport, all that, like parody. But like U of H having that facility, not facility, but an arena like that, where the energy seems like it's through the roof. It's nice. Obviously, they just built it. Like, that's the kind of thing that can be a legitimate game changer for that program.
My wife and I are going to renew our vows at Fertitta Center.
I like that.
Yeah, Kelvin Sampson does, I think, deserve some consideration for maybe, I don't know, the Houston Sports Awards.
Well, let's wait until Mike does in-depth research on a stupid thing that
let you know what's going on.
I do have a vote in the Houston Sports Awards, and Patty Smith, who I do Just Saying, which you can watch every Saturday, 10:30 on the Cube. We shot a show out at the Rustic yesterday, which is a great place, by the way, to go get yourself some drinks, like maybe a new vodka drink. Oh wow, I'm just shamelessly plugging everything that I'm
like
all about.
New vodka.
But I think I was thinking about it. AJ Hinch is probably going to get a lot of votes for that. I think I might vote for Kelvin Sampson on that front with what he has done over the last week. This is interesting, just for radio in general going forward. I have never really been a big fan of traditional baseball play-by-play on the radio. I don't think that we have a very good variant of it in town. That's my personal taste. I don't think that it's a smart idea to have a play-by-play guy and a play-by-play guy together, and that's what most baseball radio broadcasts are, and they alternate innings. One guy does one inning, the next guy does another inning. I have never understood that. I feel like, don't you want to be more like, I don't know, a radio football broadcast where you have a color commentator, or what WEEI is going to try to do up in Boston, where they're going to make baseball broadcasts turn into a talk show format? For anyone who was listening to the Galani Night radio program during the Astros World Series run last year, you would know that my broadcast of the game was significantly more entertaining of, I don't know, than maybe some other people that actually have rights to it.
You know what I find interesting about this story is that how does a sports radio station have enough power to dictate to a team how they want the broadcast to go?
That's a great question.
Like,
could you imagine
us telling the Texans like how we want the game broadcast to sound?
We should do it anyway.
I guess why do you assume that that's how it worked?
Well, I'm just reading.
Like, you don't think that it was a mutual decision?
It does sound like it's WEEI's program director, because the guy that was their play-by-play person, Tim Neverett, he is basically resigning. And why he's resigning, I'm not sure, but it does sound like he doesn't have a whole lot of support from WEEI. The Red Sox, on the other hand, are really supportive of the guy.
I mean, I don't mind the concept of it. I think that turning into a sports talk radio show, a baseball radio broadcast, might be going a little bit too far.
I guess I was just like, did the Red Sox object?
Apparently not. I'm just intrigued that a sports radio station would have the power to change a format of something.
I'm
like
intrigued
this.
By your assumption of the power dynamic here. Very authoritarian bent on you, apparently.
You think
like,
so?
Where there always has to be like a, well, this is, there's change, so somebody must have forced it upon somebody else.
No, don't get me wrong.
Like the Red Sox needs a Me Too or something here?
I think that's a general point. I think teams are way too sensitive about having broadcasters criticize their own teams on their own properties. I think fans appreciate that. I think it lends a lot of credibility.
I do
like,
too.
The Mets have had, to me, the best broadcast in baseball for like the last 40 years, and those guys crush the team when necessary, which is a lot. But that was the surprising thing. I mean, listen, maybe I'm wrong about this. They'll hire somebody good, and it'll be an interesting broadcast. Who knows? I will tell you this. I would tune in to see what it sounds like.
Yeah, me too.
Fair.